Our scripture lesson is found in Jeremiah, look at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. And we'll begin at verse 27. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days that they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus says the Lord. May God bless the reading of his holy word. First of all, I want to say it's good to be back again. It's always nice to see you here. But I don't know about you, but I have always liked the idea of having a new year. It gives you the sense of being able to start all over again and do better than you did last year. Now, have you ever given much thought to that word new? The Greek word kainos means new in substance and character. And the Greek word neos means new in time. And we're going to be emphasizing the new in substance and character tonight. In Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10, we read, Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So new is a word that has much significance for Christians. It is the true Christian who has been born again by God's grace and been given new life in Jesus Christ. This new life does not just mean a new, abundant life here on earth, but eternal life in heaven when we die or when Christ returns. So the Bible new should be spelled with all capital letters and have three exclamation marks after it. It's very significant. As we briefly review the biblical use of the word new, we're going to make three main observations. First, we will see the new foretold by God. Second, the new fulfilled in Christ. And third, the new experienced by believers. Now we'll go right to our first point. And we'll just look at a few Old Testament texts that tell us of God's future new dealing with mankind. And one thing we must realize as we go through this is that even in the Old Testament, God revealed and gave people new life in himself. Now this too was based on the future life, death, and resurrection of the Messiah, the Mashiach. And of course, usually, I said, occurred within the people of Israel, the covenant nation of Israel. In 1 Samuel 16:13, we see David received new life. There we read, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." Then in Psalm 40, verse 3, 1,000 years before Christ, we read the words of David as he speaks of what God did for him. "And he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." But even though God did give new life, there was still the Old Testament burden of the civil, the dietary, and the ceremonial law, besides the forever moral law. Jesus had not yet come to deliver us from the burden of thinking we could keep God's law for our eternal salvation. Then approximately 500 years before Christ, God inspired Jeremiah to point to the new covenant that would be seen in the future. In Jeremiah 31-33, we read, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." So there we have a picture of the new birth when believers start to rejoice in God's law instead of rebelling against it. We obey it as the evidence of our salvation and not trying to obey it as the basis of our salvation. Christ's works alone are the basis of our salvation. Ezekiel 36:26-27 also clearly points to the new birth in believers approximately 500 years before Christ. There we read, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove that heart of stone from your flesh and give you that new heart of flesh." This Ezekiel text clearly points to believers being new in substance and character in their heart, in the deepest part of their souls. So God clearly foretold of the new life he would give to his people when Christ accomplished our salvation. Now let's consider our second point, where we see the new fulfilled in Christ. As we celebrated Christmas on December 25th, we celebrated the birth of Jesus, the one who would save his people from their sin, the one who would make God's promised new covenant a reality. At the institution of the Lord's Supper in Mark 14:23-24, we read what Jesus did and said. "Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. They all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is the blood of the' new covenant which is shed for many. So through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the new covenant becomes a reality. The sins of believers are washed away in his blood, and they are clothed in his righteousness. That is his perfect obedience to God's law. The grace of God is fully manifested in Jesus Christ, and the new covenant takes effect even as God foretold it would. Blood of Jesus seals the covenant. This new covenant really fulfills the old covenant, and it is made to be the everlasting covenant, the covenant between God and believers that knows no end. The writer of Hebrews tells us this in Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. And you remember these verses as very often as a benediction at the end of a worship service. And I'll read it again. You'll know what I'm talking about. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So the eternal new covenant was promised by God, and it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So it's not my purpose tonight to go into all the details about that, but we'll go on to our third point, where we see the new experienced in believers. This is the application of the new covenant. Now, one of the clearest texts that tells of the newness of the life in believers is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This fact of being a new creature in Christ does not mean the believer has turned over a new leaf. It doesn't mean he has put off negative thinking and put on positive thinking, i.e. Norman Vincent Peale. And also, he has not become a positive thinker. Remember, Robert Schuller had his thing was possibility thinking. None of that. It means he is actually born again spiritually and has been newly created by the work of God, a new creation, as we just saw in 2 Corinthians. So he will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you, and I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So, as you go into this new year, you should make definite plans as to how you are going to put off the old person and put on the new person you are in Christ. Get off by yourself somewhere and pray and think about what God would have you to change in your life, what is part of the old man. Now, perhaps you don't have to think too long, because God has already laid it on your heart, the things that need changing. Are there habits in your life that belong to the old sinful person to which you are still clinging? If you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and you are not your own, but you are bought with the blood of Jesus, then by God's grace, determine to get rid of those habits that do not glorify him, whatever they may be. If you know it is wrong physically or spiritually, then you are keeping yourself from blessing, from walking closer to Jesus. But we as new creations in Jesus Christ are not only to put off the old man, but also to put on the new man. Perhaps you've not been reading the Bible or praying as you ought. Perhaps you've been neglecting to witness to those around you about how wonderful Jesus Christ is and how he is the only way to eternal salvation. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself. And now with the coming of the new year, we have opportunity to serve the Lord better than we did this past year. Sit down sometime in the coming weeks and plan out your days and weeks so that serving the Lord is central to your life and not just a peripheral activity. Don't just say you are a new person in Jesus Christ this new year. Prove it with a new life in Jesus, making Jesus the center of your life. If there's I don't know the spiritual condition of everyone here, but if you're an unbeliever today, you face a new year of separation from the God you were created to glorify and enjoy. It's simple words there, to glorify and enjoy. Or you don't see it now, maybe as an unbeliever. I didn't see it for about 24 years of my life. I had no idea. I didn't see it. It was being hidden by my own sin, and Satan had so many distractions that I was caught up in that I was blind to the fact that that's my real purpose in life, to glorify and enjoy God forever. And you don't see it now, but one day on that judgment day, at the end of the world, as you look at Almighty God, is there, and his saved are with him, all of his covenant people, and you're not. Then your eyes, there will be no fog of sin and blindness. You will see you missed it. It'll be too late at that point. But it's not too late. You're here now. You're still alive in your mortal body. And God is reaching out to you today through this congregation, having me up here in the pulpit. God is reaching out to you. Repent of your sins. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you will be saved. May God grant all of us the grace to rejoice in his promised, fulfilled, eternal new covenant. May we do this by living in newness of life in Christ in this coming new year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for all your amazing grace to us, those of us here who have trusted in you through the years, Lord, and seen your faithfulness, seen how all we've been able to grow in grace, all of your grace. Thank you for bringing us here this night to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, if anyone did come in tonight and not really knowing you as Savior and Lord, have mercy upon them, we pray. Grant them the grace to see their sin, to repent of it, and give them that gift of faith in you, Lord Jesus, that they may be born again, that they may start to live new life in this new year in you. We praise you for what you're going to do, and we pray that you'd come soon, Lord Jesus, and pray in your precious name. Amen.